Jerry Doyle Show.
Anita Finley back with us, author of Dirty Words on Clean Skin, the book spending 16 weeks, number one position on Amazon.com's Women in Politics list. She's an author, actress, blogger, and an EpicTimes.com contributor. Anita, welcome back.
Hi, thank you, Jerry. Happy to
always,
be back.
Always a pleasure. Now, in the last segment, we were talking about women in politics and how their voice is not being heard with regard to the debt ceiling and the shutdown and blah, blah, blah. You said it used to be that, you know, we had a certain percentage of representation in Congress, and now we're up to 19%. So you haven't come a long way, baby, but you're working towards it. Now, with regard to your piece at EpicTimes.com about real women versus catfights, you say that there is a lot of movement where women are way more than window dressing, eye candy.
Well, some. I won't say a lot. I'll say some.
Well, you picked out quite a few shows here. You got Person of Interest, you got Fox's Justified, TNT's Perception, you got ABC's Castle. So, I mean, it seems as if, you know, you didn't have a hard time finding women like Sarah Shahi, Amy Acker, what is it, Taraji Henson? Is that how you say it, Taraji?
Taraji Henson, right.
And Paige Turco.
But those are the ones I found.
Right.
I don't know how many hundreds of shows are on TV that I didn't mention, so.
But,
Let's keep that in perspective.
I got to ask you this one question here. You say, here's what's great about these ladies, with the way their characters are treated and portrayed. You say the producers of Person of Interest on CBS, they go to the head of the class for adding new series regulars that are strong. But you say they're not window dressing for men or just romantic interest. They're not victims. They're not damsels in distress, nor are they the B word without a cause or fibber to gibbets.
Oh,
what is a fibber
gibbets.
What is it?
Liberty gibbets. I told you, Jerry, that I resurrect words in the English language that nobody has used in 50 years.
Say it again.
Liberty gibbets is a fabulous old word about, you know, somebody just kind of says fiddly-dee, and they really don't know what they're doing. They're airheads. Airheads.
Right.
That's the contemporary word.
Fibberty gibbets. How do you say it again?
Fliberty gibbets.
Flibbert. I'll spell it for you, folks. Flibbertigibbets. It used to make so hard to spell. It used to make me cry. Now, what did you go looking for that word, or is it just something that
no,
you said,
that is
I want to use it?
Vernacular, my dear.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Frightening, isn't it?
I think it's cool. You know, it's like you see a word and you go, it's like, have you seen Dennis Miller in concert when he does his comedy routines?
Not live. I've seen him on HBO, yes.
Yeah. And he's very smart. And
yes,
he puts together just, you know, just great concepts that two things don't seem to be melding up, but he does. But he uses these references to things. And I laugh because I don't want to seem stupid. I have no idea what he's talking about, but I'll laugh because everybody else is. I don't want to sit there and go, excuse me, Mr. Miller. I don't get what you just said, but I don't. I laugh because of my stupidity. And when I saw that word, Fliberty Gibbets, I said, you know what? I circled it, and I said, I'm going to make a point of letting people know that I have no idea what that word means, and now we all do.
But now you do. I think it's a great word. I think that we should make an effort to resurrect all these old words from the language and not let them get lost. I think it's a hell of a lot better a word than ginormous.
Ginormous, come on. Gihugic, hoax person, crony capitalism. Those are things I use here on the show. It's my little way of sending out some love. You talk about Fox's Justified. You say that show deserves a mention for strong women characters. It's in its second season. And the arch villain was originally written for a man, but the producers had a different idea.
Well, I thought it was fascinating because this is not the first instance. It's very rare that producers who are looking at a man for a role, one of the original instances of this was Ridley Scott in the original movie Alien, because the character of Ripley was supposed to be played by a man, but instead they hired the magnificent Sigourney Weaver in this sponsored three more sequels, and she is so patrician and has such a great dignity and brings such a beautiful gravitas. This is my favorite sci-fi movie of all time, Aliens, the second one, and she is playing, by the way, the archetypal mother. But what's fascinating to me is that you're giving an opportunity for somebody else to inform a role differently, because the point I'm making is not that women always have to be portraying the good guy, because Margot Martindale, who was in the second season of Justified and wound up winning an Emmy for playing playing this diabolical backwoods matriarch. I mean, the woman is evil, but it's that she's three-dimensional. What's, you know, we don't all want to play goody two-shoes, and I'm not telling anybody you're only allowed to show women looking like this. No, it's not about that. It's about you're not going to make them look weak or insipid, or they're only there at the behest or to be window dressing for the man. So that's what was fascinating about her, that you had a woman given an opportunity to do something that you thought only a man could do, but look how she carried the weight of this. And
yeah,
when I mentioned person of interest, I really do have to give a big honorable mention to this show, because as you said, you know, they have made Amy Acker and Sarah Shahi regulars, in addition to Taraji Henson, and the fabulous Paige Turco is a great recurring character. But all of these women, not only do they bring their own gravitas to the show, I mean, certainly TV is still addicted to pretty people, and I don't think that's really ever going to change. But the fact, and they're all, you know, lovely women, but the fact is that they bring their own essence to the show that is not, you know, cardboard. But
right,
beyond that, here's the other point. They work together. They support and like each other. They're not having a quote-unquote cat fight, because we are inundated with reality television like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and Basketball Wives and you name it, where
yeah,
women are catty to each other. They rip each other down, and this is fostering a very destructive stereotype. It has been proven that the more TV little girls watch, the less possibility they have in life. It's like the more TV people watch, the more sexist they become. So
wow,
when we see these kinds of positive portrayals, it's not just, oh, Anita, what do you care? It's just stupid entertainment. Why do you bother? That's not true. The fact of the matter is, when we are inundated with these kinds of messages, this is a brainwashing. When you see somebody on Body of Proof or CSI Miami or whatever these shows were, and a medical examiner is going to a crime scene teetering in 7-inch stilettos and wearing a shirt where, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner is sort of hanging out, it
right,
makes the person taken less seriously, and that on some level does infect you, and you take it with you, and that stereotype becomes just a little more ingrained in your brain.
Yeah. You say that pretending that a woman with a medical degree cares more about her Manalo Blahniks than she does her, those are shoes, by the way, than doing her job, not only feeds a stereotype, but it detracts from the entertainment value. But there are, as you say, there's a lot of pretty people on TV, and, you know, people watch for that reason. I mean, it does work, right? And I got to take exception to Sigourney Weaver in Aliens. I think she was never better than she was in Galaxy Quest. That's just phenomenal.
Oh, I love
with Tim
that
Allen
movie.
Is that not a great movie?
Bingo.
Oh, it perfectly cast Alan Rickman, and, oh, it's just absolutely a great cast. You know, you talk about how they switched the arch villain of Justified to the role of a woman, and I had just the reverse happen with a David Kelly show. You know, David Kelly's prolific producer.
Sure.
He was doing a show called Snoops. I was at poolside at the Super Bowl in Miami, and then for the 3 or 4 days before that, we had been, you know, partying. And I get a call, and it's from my manager, and he said, David Kelly wants me in Manhattan Studios, which is south of L.A., and I was living in the Valley. You know that commute on a Monday morning. He wanted me Monday morning, 6:30 at Manhattan Studios, to audition for this role, the lead in this ABC show called Snoops. And I'm like, you're out of your mind. I'm at the Super Bowl. I got rich friends here with great tickets to the game. One guy's got a 70-foot Hatteras. The other guy's got a private jet. I'm not coming back for a stupid audition. And you know this, you change your life to go audition because this could be the one, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I said, no, hang up. Calls me back. He said, I'm going to fax you the script. So he faxed the hotel the script. And he goes, all right, I'll read it. So I'm handing it out to everybody poolside. We're reading the script. Everybody's like, yeah. So I said, all right, let me read the script. I read the script. It's great. It's a great script. And then I call out and I go, what scenes? Because, you know, they never let you do the scenes that you want to do. They always give you the scenes that they want you to do. And they gave me 3 scenes. And I was like, oh, my God, I love those scenes. And I said, all right, let me see what I can do. So I go from Miami to Chicago to Denver to L.A. I get in at like 2 o'clock in the morning. I got to be at Manhattan Studios at 6:30. And I got to have 3 scenes ready to go for David Kelly. They're screen tested. They're filming this. So I get there, do the thing. First scene, he says, oh. He goes, oh, that's great. I go, tweaks? We're going to do it? No, no, no. Let's do the second scene. Do the second scene. He goes, He goes, man, do you know this character? And I go, well, thank you. Tweaks? Just no. Third scene. He goes, no, you don't know this character. You are this character. Long story short, I bust out of there, wait for my manager to get in, call him. I said, I think they're measuring my trailer. He goes, that good? I go, that good. And you know this as an actress. That, you know, right? So he's like, great, let me get some feedback from David. Let me call the casting director and blah, 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 blah. He comes back. He goes, they love you. They absolutely love you. He said, I can't see this thing going sideways. And then we wait for the week. No. David wants to, you know, blah, blah, blah. He's seeing some other people, some other roles, but, you know, loves you. Friday we call because you hate the weekend, right? Saturday and Sunday. You know, you've been through that where you auditioned on a Friday and then you have to wait till Monday morning to find out if you got the role or didn't get the role. It's torture, is it not?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is.
And yeah. So Friday, nothing. Monday, finally. Alan, call him. I want an answer. Did I get the part or not? I can't deal with this anymore. I'm a control freak. I got to know. And he goes, I said, who got the role? He goes, Gina Gershon. I go, who got the male lead, my role that I auditioned for? He goes, Gina Gershon. I go, what? He goes, yeah, they decided to make the character a woman. I go, was that because of my audition? You know, was it that bad? And he goes, no, they loved you.
You know something? That is a very rare reversal. It is so rare when that happens. But look at it this way, Jerry. It's something else you and I have in common because I used to be a recurring character on Boston Legal. And I was in the pilot, and I was supposed to be writing my character very heavy. I was playing Larry Miller's wife, and he was one of the Crane, Poole, and Schmidt. He was Poole, and I was Poole. And then they decided, well, that whole storyline with the two of you, it's just not the right tone. And, you know, that wound up on the cutting room floor, so that was the end of that. So from writing real heavy to not writing at all. So,
yeah.
You know, that's Hollywood. But I guess, you know, the reverse does happen. And the thing is, it's not so much even about pretty people or not pretty people in terms of what you were talking about with women. You know, you can't expect, because you were asking me before, well, don't we want to watch TV because we see people who are pretty? Yeah, you know what? You're not going to be able to wean people off of that.
Right.
But it's nice when you don't just have somebody who looks like they stepped off a model runway. You know something? You can still have actors who are pretty, who still know how to act.
Right.
At least, and you can still write scripts that make some sense that are not denigrating to people. And, you know, as I point out about Person of Interest, they had these three women. Well, they're supposed to be decoys, so they had to dress them in some sexy outfit. I have never seen three women dressed in a more dignified and classy, elegant way still look sexy. This was like, wow, did I just enter the Twilight Zone? Typically, they've got everything hanging out with these ridiculous stiletto heels.
Yes.
And, you know, they look like they're wearing a hanky.
Yes.
And it's insulting.
It is. But if you're having a party as a guy and you call up your buddies and say, all right, we're having a Labor Day party. I got a band, got the pool, got the caterer, we got the bartenders. Everything's all set up. And could you bring a bunch of ugly friends? Nobody ever says that. Everybody's like, just,
you're,
you know,
terrible.
It's true.
Terrible.
I just say, but that's the mindset that people have, right?
Well,
I just say, bring your friends. Bring some friends. I don't say they have to be hot, but I'm not going to be disappointed if they are.
Nobody ever said to me, well, I mean, I'm not going to throw a party like that anyway, but nobody ever said to me, bring these friends that look like this. You know, they just say, bring your friends. They don't have some sort of a wink, wink, you know.
Right, but you're a great looking woman. You're smart. You're funny. You're approachable. You're entertaining. You know, does that not then play into the mindset of the people who are casting you in Boston Legal or 24 or The Young and the Restless? And they look and they go, you come in, you know, like throw mama from the train. A better actress or a better performance in that character than maybe someone else did, chances are you're not getting the role.
What if you don't look good, you mean?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Look, there's no doubt about that, and I've dealt with it, and it's very nice of you to pay me the compliment, but believe me, it's like in the words of Goldie Hawn in First Wives Club, you're either a babe, a district attorney, or driving Miss Daisy. And, you know, I may be considered attractive, but seriously, in this town, compared to the lookers that you have, I'd much more be cast as the district attorney. I don't get to play the babe. And now I think they're trying to push me toward driving Miss
Right. But in Hollywood, and you know this, there's so many hot chicks in L.A., and if you go up to them and you say, hey, what do you think of Obama's energy bill? They go, oh, you should probably pay it. You know, you don't want to hang out with them.
Well, that's true too. But I think what
not for a long time.
Well, I know you're evil, Jerry, and I'm just going to let that remark go by the wayside.
Thank you very much.
I think what's important here, too, is in what you're watching on television, you're not going to change the nature of what they think puts butts in the seats. But that's not to say that when you have a program, you can't write something in an intelligent way and show men and women working together in a cooperative fashion. And when you see Person of Interest or you see some show or like Perception or whatever where that does happen, that in itself is encouraging. And in response to your original question, do you think Hollywood is leading America or America's leading Hollywood? It's a bit of both, because typically Hollywood is behind national trends. I don't think that they are generally trendsetters. It's like stuff is happening out in the workplace for a long time. Finally, somebody gets the message. Let me give you one great example of this.
I got about 45 seconds left.
All right, real fast. Studio head was famously quoted as saying, "Women cannot open a movie." Then Bridesmaids happened.
Yeah.
And help happens. So you know what? Stop the stereotypes, because the limits are not where you think they are.
And Gravity with Sandra Bullock, she opened the movie. I mean,
she's pushing 50. Look at her. Look at her go.
Yeah, she looks great. Absolutely. Anita Finley's article, Real Women Versus Catfights, epictimes.com. You can get it there. And her other article, Why Are Women Shut Out of the Shutdown Negotiations? You get it at AnitaFinley.com. Hey, I got a quick question on the way out here. I was looking at this study, Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. They're looking at foods and what the food flavor favorite of yours says about you. Like spicy, salty, bitter, sour, sweet. If you had to pick one of those, which would you pick? Spicy, salty, bitter, sour, sweet. Which one would you go with?
Spicy.
Let me find spicy here. If you like spicy foods, if you like chili peppers, wasabi, and horseradish, adventurous. That's you, right?
Yes.
Okay. There you go.
It better be. I'm talking to you, aren't I? I better be adventurous.
It says adventurous, and you are a cool, cool chick, Anita Finley. Appreciate you joining us on the program. Check out her book.
My pleasure.
Dirty Words on Clean Skin. You can get it at Amazon.com, all major book retailers. And once again, EpicTimes.com for her one article and her website, AnitaFinley.com, for the other. We'll do it again, Anita. Thank you very much.
Have a wonderful evening, Jerry. Thank you.
You too. So which one are you, folks? Spicy, salty, bitter, sour, and sweet are the five choices. I'll tell you what they are, revealing about your personality when we get back. Stick with me.